I think it's good. I think that his intent is good. I think the product is good. I realize that we are probably getting the same or more. But even his idea of establishing a market, a bank market based upon the precious metals that his process is able to produce, it looks good to me. It seems like the only downside would be the beast coming in and trying to do stuff, but like the field that's generated that superconductivity, nothing can enter it. So I guess my point is, seems like the only downside would be the lack of the shield of light. Can we, as somewhat separate beings, place that light around the work of this man?
Oh, I think the light's already around the work of this man. There are as many intents as there are individuals. He certainly got the right idea, and he's gifted. He truly has. I don't mean that he is gifted. I mean he has truly been given the gift. So it will be only up to him how he handles that gift. And by all means, enjoy and experience any way you can as a supporting mechanism. Anything within the laws of the land that keep you out of trouble, and I mean follow the laws. Anytime you have ones daring to go out and saying there's a cure here, or that this will heal you, or this will bring perfection, oh, it's hard for those who know what they're talking about to have to play these silly, silly games. But I concern about him. I really do concern about him as it gets bigger and bigger, because you lose control over how it's presented. And you see, he's fallen into that either-or trap that can hit all of you if you know what you're doing. Sometimes ignorance is bliss. In our products, for instance, ignorance is a little bit of bliss, because you don't maybe know what exactly you have. And you can go out and you can eat dirt and maybe get the same result. If you eat the right kind of dirt, you will get the same results. Just be careful what you do. Do it for the right reasons. If all you want to do is increase your libido, when you're already a world in trouble because of it, come on, people. If your intent to take 2,500 milligrams of iridium and rhodium a day so that you're in a constant orgasmic state, why don't you try spirituality and truth? Oh, well, that's not so exciting. No, but it sure is safer. No, yourself. And this cannot be the job of David Hudson to determine what you do with this knowledge he offers. That's up to you. So you have to decide. He will not be judged on what you decide. You will. And you can't cop out by saying, well, he told me, and I invested. If you invested, then you did it. And you take the consequences of that responsibility. Don't come back later after you get rock indigestion and say, well, he told me. BS. Use your head. Not only do I have rock indigestion, but I paid for it. Well, now you're going to have to pay to get the rocks taken out of your belly.
Get the antibody in your brain first.
There's always a smart one.
And it's usually false.
But you bet, this is a good idea. Now, he talks about all of these wonderful metals and their value and so forth. But come on, it's like energy. There takes energy in to get energy out. You don't get anything for nothing. And when you stop trying to get something for nothing, you will start putting in the right thing that brings it back to you tenfold. This is what I say about George Green and receivership. When he finally says it, he says, in informal liquidation. Paul asked him, what do you mean by receivership? And he gives all this big hullabaloo. No, I mean, what do you actually mean by receivership of the Institute? What is that going to do to my investment? Well, what it really is informal liquidation. And everybody will be lucky to get 10 to 25 cents on the dollar. Why in the world, based on your own agreements? You see, they only mention the promissory note. There are agreements. There's an understanding. Gold has to double. Gold has to double, at the least. George Green built the plan on it reaching a minimum of $1,000 an ounce. You're in like clover, every one of you. If it reaches $800 an ounce, you are swimming. But they don't mention that. They say, you know, that Eckers have personally taken $10 million out there and blown it on themselves. Huh. Well, all of you are here, too. And somehow things have managed to keep going. And yes, there is a lot of debt. But I think anybody can see if you built the debt out of a certain amount, that if you double that amount, you don't have any debt, and you get everything back, and you better than double it, and my goodness, you got a profit. Why would you not settle for tenfold by waiting a little bit, unless you are in total need, and then spread it out? Then take 10 cents and lose. To me, there is no rational reasoning to this. And if you are paying these unbelievably ungodly attorneys, you've lost double. And you just keep working and working and pushing them to make you lose more and more and more. Well, I don't like it. And when it reaches a point where control is manifested over David Hudson's own gift, he may blink his eyes open and he may find that, who knows, maybe Romta's going to be a good 64,000-year-old alien, or he may be a heavy-handed controller of a precious metals operation. Iridium is the source of the spark you're talking about. Rhodium is next to platinum in that it's very useful for catalytic converters, for instance, in combination in catalytic response, like in those catalytic converter, you're having a catalytic reaction. This releases what you want released. So basically, you take this soil, this rock, this actually what it is lava foam out of volcanoes. It's going to have a little sulfur in it. It's going to have a lot of very good elements in it. You take it in, but what happens is your living cellular life structure converts it, catalyzes it. About all we can do with it is catalyze it first so that your body can use it. Because that's what the law is. If your body is good enough to be able to catalyze that itself, fine, take it and feel wonderful. Use it for the right reasons. You see, he comes along and then he says you can convert that after you have used it for your spiritual. You know, you sign up under this psychological thing. philosophical thing. But then you can, after they get going and get it all structured, you can change it over here to an income-bearing thing. Just use your head. It obviously is a substance of life. And we're talking about the engravement, that which can be engraved upon, the liquid carbon diamond chip, is also that which could be considered just beneath the engraving element of the monoatomic gold. It handles your DNA engraving on your computer chip, if you will, liquid crystal. He has a much better and easier presentation. And quite frankly, you know, if we're going to just get right down here to the bottom and talk about it, if he wants to stick his neck out there, what he has is not as good as what you have. But it's sure safer to use his. Everybody hear me? You still need the protection of non-focus. And we have a ways to go with this. Now, turn it off. I really want to change the subject. I would like Dr. Young to share with us his experience with Chief Okilo. This is the new president of University of Science and Philosophy, and a totally delightful person.
To what extent would you like me to share information?
Just that you have conversed with him. And
okay. Yes, I conversed with him, and then I followed that up with a written letter. I got through to the new president of the USNP, University of Science and Philosophy, is a chief, Melford Okilo, O-K-I-L-O, from Nigeria, who was finance minister, I don't have the information in front of me here. Anyway, commerce and tourism and something else. He was governor of the river state. Thank you. Governor, that was the other thing. There is so much pulse activity going on in the last few days. I don't know if Commander mentioned it before I got here. But
well, just add a little iridium to that, and let's see if you fly.
I need to be grounded. I need the opposite. Anyway, yes, he was governor of the River State and in Nigeria, and he is also, as I said, minister of commerce and tourism. And then he has accepted this position, and I got through to him in 4 minutes of trying, right, to his desk in his office this past week, one of those things that was supposed to happen and is facilitated. And we had a pleasant talk because I needed to ask his permission in the recent issue of something called Light Waves, which is the newsletter of USNP. He wrote a most profound and wide-ranging statement called The Brotherhood of Mankind. And it is a very elegant combination of the Walter Russell level of science, or that level of science which was given to Walter Russell to talk about, the next grade in science, let's call it, and the implications of living in that way, utilizing that science. For instance, the law of giving and regiving. It's not just a theoretical concept like Newton's law of gravitation or something. It's an actual way to live, which would cause betterment, as Commander's been saying in the last couple of hours, in all that we do. If we give for others, we'll get back many times over. So this message is a very elegant combination of the Russell science and what the benefits would be towards the brotherhood of mankind. And I wanted to run it in the contact, and therefore I called him specifically to ask for his permission to reprint that article. And he wholeheartedly and enthusiastically gave me permission and was pleased that we were interested in it. And I said, well, not only were we interested, but our readership, it would resonate with our readership. And I then told him a little more carefully who I was, and of course that brought to his attention some things that were shoved under his nose. And I won't get into the too much of the details of what we talked about with regard to some other subjects, but I will say that if any positive light could have been generated, that which will force him to reconsider the association of US&P with us, with our material, as opposed to the trap that Timothy Binder fell into in believing George Green, then we are on the road to a much more working relationship between the two organizations. That's all I'll say about that. But I'll also add a few words here since I've got the mic on. Earthquakes this week are actually in a very diminished, subdued frequency with respect to even last week, and that actually does not bode well. Everything from Mammoth Lakes area through Southern California looks like it's lightened up to maybe 50% of what it was in the last several weeks. That generally only means a little bit of a rest. There's a breathing that the planet does, a pulsation that the planet goes through, an in-breathing and out-breathing, and this looks like one of those where the tide is low momentarily. Now, up in Northern California, that's not quite so true. From Monterey area, inland from Monterey, where the San Andreas Fault is, all the way up through the north side of San Francisco, going up towards the Redwoods area, that area is very, very heavily active. There used to be just the activity around what's called the geothermal geysers area, north of San Francisco. Now you can hardly see the activity there for how much other activity is going on. And as Commander commented 2 weeks ago, when it slipped out of my mouth, I said, the earthquake activity up there looks like a bloody mess. I had to think about that for the last 2 weeks, and I guess I still agree with whoever said that I have to take responsibility. I'm told that if it comes out of my mouth, I have to take responsibility for it, so I guess I will, but it is quite bad up there. Now, another thing that happened was Richard Hoagland was again on the Art Bell Show on Thursday night, and he talked some more about astronauts who are talking through both sides of their mouth, Gordon Cooper, Ed Mitchell, and Art Bell had Ed Mitchell on Friday night and tried heroically to get Ed Mitchell, who you'll remember is Apollo 14 astronaut and was on the moon, and there are claims that some of the things you could see in the visors, photographs of him on the moon and what you could see in the visor of his helmet, of his spacesuit, showed something that he was looking at. And of course, as Art tried to get Ed Mitchell to say anything that would be in support of Richard Hoagland or Richard Hoagland's hypothesis that there are things on the moon, Edgar Mitchell got into this monotone voice, very denying and very much, well, no, there would be no such thing, or we would have talked about it. We would never have kept such a thing quiet, et cetera, et cetera. So we don't need to judge whether Edgar Mitchell has been changed out or just well-programmed. But I know Edgar Mitchell from days gone by when I did psychic research at Stanford, and he had an institute at that time, which was in Palo Alto, called the Institute of Noetic Sciences. It shifted up the road to Sausalito to fancier property there, right on San Francisco Bay for a while, and now he's in Florida. I don't know if the Noetic Institute followed him to Florida, or it's still out in Sausalito, and he's in Florida, retired. But he claims to be working with a number of people who are buzzword people I know. They might not mean anything to you, people who are from Stanford Research Institute, heavy CIA connections. And when Art read a fax to him saying, ask your guest if you dare whether any of the money that I know he gets for his Noetic Sciences Institute comes from the CIA, ask him if he will admit it. Well, Edgar Mitchell said, oh, heavens, no, I would know if I had any money coming in from the CIA. So he was as innocent as a white Easter lily, and is unknowledgeable of anything hocus-pocus going on the moon. And he was a real good boy in terms of giving the party line that there's nothing going on there. And I'm sure it probably drove Richard Hoagland up the wall to hear this after the night before, saying that several astronauts were coming forth with information and Edgar Mitchell was going to be one of them. Well, he wasn't one the next night, so maybe some night he will be, but right now. So for those of you who heard those interviews, I'm sure there will be a great deal of follow-up on the Art Bell Show, static and discussion and whatever. But there was no new information revealed by Mitchell. And as far as Hoagland is concerned, the biggest argument that he had to make was when people say, well, I've looked at some of your photographs you've downloaded on the internet, and I can't see so well how these are, you know, a structure here, a structure there, I can see a little bit that it might be. Well, they got into a big discussion of what has happened, as Commander was just referring to a minute ago, in our educational system. And how we no longer know. The 60 and 70-year-olds can look at these photographs and see more in them than the younger people because they have not been weakened in so much in independent discernment. Education over the last 40 to 50 years has moved in a direction to tell you what to think, not how to think or how to develop your facilities, your abilities. So what Hoagland got into a big discussion of with Art was that because our educational system is the way it is, people can't even look for themselves at photographs and make analyses. They have not developed the judgmental abilities to look at things and say, now why would there be no stars in the background of that picture, and why would there not be this, and why would there not be that? So it got into that kind of a discussion. And he also made the point that while it could be a word between him or a test of wills between him and the and NASA, if is he wrong or is NASA wrong, his final comment was, I ask you, would 7 or 8 key retired and present NASA scientists be willing to stand there with me and support the photographs? And the person, for instance, who was in charge of the photographs, would they be willing to do that if they didn't see something there? So you can look at it from a purely objective point of view, and you don't need Richard Hoagland in the equation at all to realize there's more going on. So that's all I have to say.
Well, once you have a little bit of information that does get out, and once it becomes advantageous to the big boys to let it out, you're going to have all sorts of things coming to your attention. In about 1965, a whole bunch of us, and I'm talking, this is Hatton talking, and this is us that I'm talking about, having some massive shows of both strength and numbers in the area of Edwards Air Force Base. Now, this is one reason I get so angry at George Green that I want to shake him. Because he did have an opportunity to view, to see that which all of you would like to experience. And it's hard for me to believe that we can get so warped in our thought patterns as to lose the value of that experience to simple greed or ego needs or whatever pulls us away. It's going to come to the surface. There were to be meetings with Eisenhower, Baruch. There were meetings. But usually if there were to be meetings, one place would be staged for the meetings and they would take place elsewhere. A lot of things have happened. Area 51. There's been interchange on your globe with the higher energies, and I'm talking about the host energies. Most of the alien misfits are landlocked, so don't worry about them. You're building up a big hyper thing, playing into the hands of the ones who want you to think the monsters and boogeymen are going to get you. And sure enough, if you allow this sort of attitude and thought form, that's what will happen. But that doesn't need to happen. And there have been some massive shows of strength from alien visitors over Edwards Air Force Base. And that will be coming out. They can't keep it down much longer because there's some that are already beginning to reveal that. And I believe that you're going to find it's even being written about. So.
It's on television. Commander, would you comment on the goat sucker down in Puerto Rico?
Who's back there whispering?
The goat sucker?
Yeah, the goat sucker.
Oh, the goat sucker.
Yeah, goat.
I'm sorry. No. Pardon my amusement. A lot of things going on in Puerto Rico. I know what you mean. You're talking about the one they can't quite find that looks like a bad impression of a lizard that sucks goats dry of their blood and so forth. No, but you have some really, really interesting things running around in Puerto Rico. I'm talking about really interesting, because there were some major, major contacts and some underground, underwater, you know, entrance through lake into the underground. And there's some real interesting things.
Sandra, I thought they decided that those ghost suckers were just a variety of a cross between lawyers and bankers.
Maybe that's why we have so much fun with it.
I have a question. If someone was to set up a separate, not a separate jurisdiction, but a township, is there some way to make a treaty with someone like yours? Like the host, to kind of ask for protection?
Not really. Because we're only allowed to respond basically to individual need. And when you start, that gets into intergalactic politics. Any way that I would like to cut it. Because I don't believe, number one, you're going to meet this. I don't believe that you have to secede from anything. The mere act of small groups of people assuming their responsibility is one thing, but you do not change a nation or a system in that tiny little focus. And that would be considered an invasion if you formed a coalition with the higher source and special dispensation was given just to that group. That brings fear and trepidation to everyone else. Once you have a coalition like that, other than as a group of individuals, that you are in God's service, you will be protected. Once you get into political circles of townships and states, counties, etc., you are bordering on international conflict. You might be very blessed if you did that, but to have a coalition formed. For instance, there are some places in South Africa where the Kaldashians are, that they are overlooked. But you see, their whole thrust is different from anything that you might be establishing here, which is political. And we're ordered to stay out of politics. Otherwise, we'd just replace everybody and you wouldn't have the problem. It is up to you to solve the problem, and through that you replace everybody.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
Can you make clones like they do, Commander?
Sure.
That'd be easy.
You'd have about as much luck materializing it as they do, too. But we're working at it.
All we need is clone rig, maybe five of them, we'll get it made.
We'll get it. You have to get it through reasonable, acceptable, physical resource. You can't just get it. You see what happens, even when people try. In their honest, humble intent, it's a nasty world. It truly is. And it's up to us to allow it to evolve again into some balance, hopefully without destruction. It doesn't have to be destroyed. All you have to do is desire, have a goal that's worthy of it, and evolve into it. And you do need help. And we're restricted pretty much to guiding and sheltering. You bet. I can put you in a bubble, and I do. I even put Bob Nagaya into a bubble when he travels.
Gonna be a fast bubble.
Right. Don't give him any iridium. Tell you something, Wally. This stuff really can reverse diabetes. Anybody else have anything brilliant or sharing or nasty or rotten. Or
I have a question that's puzzled me ever since I've been here.
Is it nasty or rotten?
It's about your ships when you come in with the clouds and they're real long and narrow. How is that done? Yeah, I mean, the basics of your ships are basically round, aren't they?
Well, I don't know what you mean by long and narrow, but a lot of times you're going to have a whole string of shuttlecraft. And you see, I'm going to repeat something that we've talked about before, but for the listening people, I would repeat it. And that is that very frequently you will have a formation for any number of reasons lined up along a grid line. Your technical people can't really form those clouds. We have trouble, if we have trouble at all, is getting rid of the cloud. You can't form it. You cannot yet cloak well enough. And you see, we can put an energy shield around that is nothing but a cloud. But if you've got a long, if you've got, say, 10 or 15 shuttlecraft in a line, they're going to merge into one appearing unit. If you could get light from behind it, if the sun were just right and the clouds thin enough, you would be able to see the nucleus.
Okay. Al, I've got that on video, exactly what you're talking about. I took it a couple months ago, of one that went all the way across.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
The whole sky like that. And maybe I'll bring it in so everybody can see it.
Well, it's fun. It truly is fun. And a lot of contact is made, as a matter of fact, behind a cloudy sky where you don't see it. That gives team members an opportunity to test their systems and also to test your encapsulating system. And some of those booms that you get around are not aircraft, and they're not necessarily airquakes. They are us shoring up wherever you're having a weakness in the shield. This is kind of an off-limits place.
Commander?
Yes?
Could you give us an explanation of what causes the clouds to form around the ships? What, you know, what actually physically causes the vapor or whatever it is to form around the ship when it comes?
You're going to hate it. Would you believe the major element involved is iridium?
Is that just because of the that the ship has iridium content, or is there some kind of a energy field because of that, or? What about that?
Why don't you just focus on August? Every year this time. Every year this time. Brent doesn't breathe till August. Except to ask me silly questions. Does anyone else besides Brent have a question?
Is that guy ever going to do anything with that star-like stuff, that product that's supposed to not burn or not heat up? They can put it against an egg and it doesn't fry the egg. And
yet if you want it to, it heats to a zillion degrees. I don't know.
Is he ever going to do anything?
But you're dealing, you're getting to the, he may. That may happen. There becomes an understanding about the properties that you're working with and this incredible superconduction that it can be managed nicely to where you get literally cold application infusion. Yeah, it would. We might give up the currency. The quest for currency. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to focus on our work?
Yes. Well, Commander, one more jab at won't that high-spin monatomic thing like make a whole new sort of branch of science?
Not really. It would, and it certainly should. But you have had science dip into the pits, and most won't consider it of value. just won't happen. And the drug companies are not going to allow it to blossom because that puts them out of business. So you've got to find a degraded use for everything. Was that your machine cutting off? Can we have cake?
Hold on.
That was one of the machines cutting off, and we can have cake, yes.
We'll ignore the rest of the questions. I'm sorry that I didn't speak with Wes a little earlier when we talk about energy forms. I cannot associate with some of you without seeing the overall energy form, see. And when I experience Wes, for instance, I always experience Matthew. And you see, all of us go back so far that you can take it all the way back. But where we're going to basically end this particular segment of experience will probably be in Egypt, because this is our ongoing experience now. Egypt was something to overcome. And don't forget it. The one light, Aton, was birthed out of that idea. It was brought forth into recognition from there. And I'm not talking about forever. I'm talking about something you can handle in historical content or context and deal with in a rather semi-sequence of events. And if we can make it back there so that we can understand it today and experience our own relationships with our own ancestry and our lineage of human, of higher universal man within God, Creator, we create our play. Whether you want to believe it or not, we do. And this particular play we created in those days just prior to Akhenaten. It doesn't mean that we didn't experience in Mu, Pan, all of these places. But this particular segment of cycle evolvement can basically be tracked right back to Egypt. I mean, from the serpent people to the one God. And it's been a game ever since. And as long as you can recognize the fact that it is a game built on a stage of illusion that we have created, you and me,
holiday.
It's exactly a holiday. And when you learn that you create from your mind on that holodeck, you will create the answers you want. Whether it be regarding a George Green or a Stephen Horn or God himself, you will create your way. And that's what makes the difference. The evil, the adversary, can only deal with what you have created. He cannot create. And once he loses his creative ability, always there was that opportunity. But when you choose the manufactured to the creating, you've lost. It may not appear to the creator that you've lost. I mean that they've lost. Because you don't feel the win. But when you recognize your creative capability, you will not accept loss as an alternative. And that's where we're headed. Where each little experience is only that, an experience, to allow you to create from the whole cloth. And then it becomes the interesting game.
Commander?
Yes.
I guess it's kind of like the soil and the root. I imagine myself being the root, and the soil, all it does is supplying the back pressure. But I'm so powerful, I can even push up concrete blocks, sidewalks. You know, that little root?
That's right. And when you get
all
in...
All I need to do is recognize my power.
And when you get into the light and the air, you have all the rest you need to stand the winds or whatever comes against you. And you can clip off the top, but doesn't necessarily kill the root, does it? So you get a little whiplashed along the way. But that's what experience is about. And it's a grand journey. You can accept it as being dreary and the doldrums, but I'll tell you, it is a grand journey. And we are winning. because look how many hate us. And look at the quality of those that hate us.
Nerd.
It's sad. It's pathetic.
Midland's nerd.
Commander?
Yes.
If I recall correctly, you said once in some of the writings that the cult of Isis was not too much of a cult to be proud of. On one of the channeling sessions I attended with four other ladies, the channel greeted us as greeting sisters of Isis.
Well, just be discerning.
Adios.
He's not into women.
Let's go.
Okay.
Thanks. It's been great.
Thank you.
Commander.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Commander. Thank you for a scintillating meeting.
Well, let's scintillate some more.
I'll be my honorary.